Thank you. It's 1987. I'm in Australia. I'm on a train. I'm going from Perth to Adelaide. It didn't take long before I started up a conversation with a couple on the train. They were newlyweds. We were around the same age at the time, and they had just treated themselves to a really nice weekend in Perth, and they were heading back to the small town that they lived in Australia, in the Nullarbor, in the middle of the Australian desert. And I thought, oh, what a coincidence, because I've been living for the last 3 months in a really small town in New Zealand, in Oban on Stewart Island. So this kind of small town connection that we had really kind of kicked off, just kind of like a really fast, interesting connection between us. And they ended up asking me if I wanted to get off the train with them and to spend a couple of days in Forest. That was the name of their town. And I said, sure. So as we start to approach Forest, and looking out the windows, like there was no forest. There was nothing out the windows. One of them got up and pulled this lever in the train carriage that told the conductor to stop the train. So the train stops, we get out. First thing I see is this sign that says Forest, population 13. The town of Forest was divided by the railroad tracks. There were 7 people who lived on one side of the railroad tracks. They worked for the Weather Bureau. I was with them. 6 people lived on the other side of the railroad tracks, and they worked for the rail company. We go to the house, my host's house. We go into the kitchen. She turns on the kettle, and before the kettle boiled, the entire town of Forest was in her kitchen. Because word had quickly spread that this strange woman had gotten off the train. And everybody was really curious. So it was decided that that night we would have a party in this picnic area that they had created under the tree in Forest. There was a tree. There was definitely a tree. They told me it was alive. It didn't look alive, but they said it was. Okay, so after tea, we go out into this area. Underneath the tree, there was a very typical kind of wooden park bench with or park table with benches on either side. Somebody had brought some cups and some snacks and some drinks, and there were a few other chairs scattered around. In the tree, there was a spotlight that was attached to the branch on a tree that was casting a really bright round light on this very dry brownish red earth. It was like cracked as well. And we're sitting around and having drinks and kind of chatting, and before long I just noticed that this spotlight on the ground had turned into like a bug highway, and there were scorpions, centipedes, beetles of every kind of size and color just walking across this light, which made me think, you know, they're probably walking across the ground as well, but we just don't notice because it's not lit up. Okay, so, and then there were these flying insects that I was told they were flying ants, and that you had to hold your drink with one hand and then you put your other hand on top of the drink to keep the flying ant from dive bombing into your drink and drowning in your wine. Then I looked up at the tree where this spotlight was attached, and there was a really smart spider who had built its spider web really close to this light, and it had come out now onto the web, and it was the size of my fist. So I told the guy chatting next to me that I was listening to what he was saying, but every once in a while I was going to like look up at the spider web, and if the spider was gone, I was gone. The party would be over for me. So it didn't take an Einstein to figure out that I was sort of experiencing a mix of fascination and terror of this nightlife. So this one guy said to me, I have a trick, a bug trick that I want to show you. And I said, okay. He grabs a stick off the ground that was about the size of a toothpick, but a little bit thicker. and he motioned me to kneel down on the outer rim of this bright light on the ground, which I did. And sure enough, here comes this really big, black, shiny beetle walking across this insect highway. And before anything happened, I kind of imagined that he'd poke the beetle, and then the beetle would, like, scatter into the darkness off one edge, and then he'd poke it again, and it would go, you know, in the other direction. And that's not what happened. He poked the beetle, but the beetle stopped in its tracks, and it straightened its front legs. So now it is reared up so that its head is higher than the back of its body, and it is rocking. And then it is opening and closing its mouth like it's roaring. And it wasn't, "Hey, Jude." And it was this amazing moment for me, like a Sir David Attenborough kind of moment, where I felt really small, despite the fact that I was probably, you know, amongst, there were 14 big people that were there, but billions of these insects and bugs. Like, I had just been really frightened of a huge spider that was in its house and a good distance away from me, but I was terrified of it. And this little beetle was ready to, it roared at me. You know, it was just like, it was amazing. It was just so, so brave. So that was my Forest Australia adventure.